From Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17, the Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him." At this point, Jesus had been ministering for just a short while, but his notoriety had begun to spread. At this point, he had already been tipped into the wilderness. He had already turned water into wine. He had already reached the woman at the well. And at this point, he had become a well-known preacher. He was preaching by the Sea of Galilee in this lake otherwise known as Gennesaret. But he had a problem. There were so many people coming to him and so many people responding to the message that he had to preach out off of the seashore. He couldn't preach from land. So he got into a boat, he launched it out a little bit, and he preached. But then he comes to the owner of the boat, whose name is Simon Peter. And he tells Peter to follow him, and Peter does something instantly. He makes a difficult decision. He drops everything, and he follows him. Amen. You know, tonight, if I were to ask for a raise of hands of who would like to be a disciple of Jesus or who believes you're a disciple of Jesus, I would think nearly every hand in the room would go up. But when we look at the sacrifice of Peter, are we willing to leave things to follow him? What in your life tonight are you willing to lay aside to be a disciple? Tonight I'd like to preach to you on this topic, the cost of being a disciple. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We're thankful for your love for us. Lord, we're thankful that you've saved us, Lord, and that you want to use us. You want us to be your disciples. I pray tonight that you'd help us to follow you, to be what we should be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was a hog and a hen, and they were sharing the same barnyard. And they began to hear about this church's program that was going to feed the hungry. They were very excited about it, and the hog and the hen began to discuss how they could help, how everything was going to come around. So the hen said, "I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry." Well, the hog thought about it for a little bit, and he said, "There's one problem with your bacon and eggs theory, and that's that from you it only requires a contribution, but for me it will mean total commitment." You know, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not just a partial contribution. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not living in our comfort zone. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means a willingness to leave everything, to drop everything that he wants us to drop, and to follow him with everything we've got. The question tonight we have to ask ourselves is, how committed are we? Are we willing to follow him at all costs? Now let's look at Luke chapter number 5, where we're going to see a little bit more about Peter. "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered and said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both their ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Peter was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. And at that moment, I believe that Peter accepted Jesus as his Savior, but he remained a fisherman. He continued in the occupation that he had always been in. It was his family business, and Peter wasn't wrong to be involved. As a matter of fact, he was right. He was feeding his family. He was doing what was required of him. But this day, everything changed. Imagine the night Peter had fished. You got to think, you know, they would work, and they would go out, and they would make their money, and they would feed their family with that money. They very much lived in a day-to-day type of society as far as their income was concerned. And they had fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. Jesus appeared to him and asked him to drop everything and follow him, and he did. The first thing we see tonight is an inconvenience. An inconvenience. Look at verse 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. We see tonight that he was busy. We see that they were washing their nets. How many people in here tonight would say, I am busy? How many of us lead busy lives? I think every person in here tonight would say, I'm busy. How many times have you asked somebody to do something and they say, I would, but I'm busy. I wish I could have done that, but I'm busy. And we find that Jesus approaches Peter when he is busy. He is washing his nets. He is preparing for the next day. He's sitting there dejected because of the lack of success. He's busy, and Jesus comes to him during that time. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is not going to wait for that time when you have absolutely nothing to do to say, will you serve me? He's not going to wait for you to be sitting there twiddling your thumbs and say, hey, now that you have nothing else in the world to do, it's time to serve me. No, here's what I found. I found that the people that God uses are the busy people. The people that he uses are the people who are constantly involving themselves in things. And it's important to understand tonight that you may be busy. You may have all kinds of things going on, but it's important to allow Jesus to inconvenience your life, to come in when you're busy, and to drop everything and to serve him. We then see he was tired. Look at verse 5. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Isn't that the way it works? When you're well rested, it seems like an offer to do something never comes along. There's never a convenient time. There's never a good time, it seems. And we find that Peter is tired. Peter is busy. Peter has everything in the world going on he's got a lot going on. The last thing he needs is to loan out a ship for another hour or 2 hours or however long Jesus would speak that day. But what does he do? He gives the ship to Jesus. He allows Jesus to take control, and he stays a little longer. We also find that he was empty. Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. He was empty. You ever feel like you're running on empty? You feel like you're at the end of everything? You feel like you have absolutely no idea how what needs to happen can happen? That's exactly where Peter was. He's busy. He's got something to do. He's tired. He's empty. And it's during that time of busyness and tiredness and emptiness that Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, I've got a job for you. And Peter responds, what will we do tonight? But then we see an investment. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. There was a personal investment there. I can imagine that some of us may say, hey, Jesus, you can use this ship, but not that part of the ship. Jesus, you can have this segment of my life, but Jesus, not this segment. Don't we do that a lot of times? We compartmentalize our life. We have our church life and our work life, or our school life, or our family life. But here's what we've got to understand tonight. Being a disciple is total commitment. It means he is in control of all of the compartments. It means that everything is completely surrendered and yielded to him. He was personally invested. There was also a financial investment. He was willing to give Jesus his livelihood. He was willing to give his ship so that Jesus could take his ship and do with it what he wanted. Think of the song, Take My Life and Let It Be, dedicated, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold. Can we say that tonight? Is that our heart? Jesus, here's my ship. Jesus, I know I'm busy. I know I'm washing nets. I know I'm empty. I know that I'm tired. But Jesus, what you're telling me is more important than what I want to do with my life. Jesus, you are in control. Jesus, I want to be your disciple. After all, Jesus will go on to say in Luke chapter 12, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure tonight? What do you value? What can you give? Tonight we see an inconvenience. We see an investment. But then we see an instruction. Look at verse number 4. And when he had left speaking, he said unto him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. At this point, Simon had already cleaned the nets. He had taken time. He had stayed up later than he wanted to. And he had let Jesus be in control. And can you imagine if Peter thought the way that I think anyway, I don't know how you think. I've fished all night. I've caught nothing. I've cleaned the nets. Now I'm letting you borrow my ship. And now you want me to launch back out into the deep? Is that ever you? Have you ever been in that situation where somebody asks you to do something and it inconveniences you, but you're kind of unwilling to tell them no? You know, you don't want to put them in a bad spot, but it really puts you in a bad spot. Well, that's Peter here. He's washed his nets. He's tired. He's ready to go home and go to bed and get up for the next day of work. And Jesus says, launch back out. Go back out into the deep. There's something out there. At this point, he's tired, and Jesus gives him this command. John Butler said, Christ tests us first in small things. If we pass that test, he'll give us bigger things to do. Before we serve in large matters, we must prove our willingness and faithfulness to serve in small matters. This was not as big of a demand as he would have just a couple of minutes later. This was not as big of a demand as he would have upcoming. But at this point, Jesus tells him, go back out. And what does he do? Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. That sounds like doubt to me. What about you? How many times do you feel like God is leading you in a way and you go, God, I think that's great, but I don't know about that. God, that seems a little crazy. God, that seems a little extreme. God, you want me to give how much to that missionary? God, you want me to do that? God, I can't do that. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Can you see Peter as he looks at Jesus and says, you sure about that? You know, it's easy to tell others you don't understand. But it seems at times that we tell God the same thing. God, you just don't understand. I really don't have that much money. God, you just don't understand. I'm too shy to stand in front of that group of kids. God, you just don't understand. I don't have that ability. I don't have that talent. I don't have that money. God, you just don't understand. I think of a guy by the name of Moses. He stands at a burning bush. God, I'm not eloquent, God. I don't have the ability. If God could provide for Moses, if God could provide for Peter, are you willing to pay the cost to be a disciple tonight? He doubts. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the thing which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What that verse tells us is that Jesus gave everything. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Is that our heart though? Is that our idea? Or is it Jesus paid it all? All from him I'll take. Jesus paid it all. Jesus keep giving me the blessings. But Jesus don't ask me to do anything. Jesus, don't ask me to teach that class. Jesus, don't ask me to do that thing. Jesus, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do because you don't understand the one who gave it all. I think the problem is that we don't understand the cost. We don't understand the pain. We don't understand the cross. And I believe that when we understand the cost that was given for our salvation, when we understand his sacrifice, our sacrifice will seem like little. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I can't imagine enduring a cross. Can't imagine the pain of nails in my hands and feet. I can't imagine the pain of being perfect and living a sinless life and having every sin I've committed and you've committed and the world has committed dumped on us. I can't imagine that. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. He did it for us. And if he gave everything, we should be willing to give everything. Verse number 6. So he's just said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, God, that's what I'll do. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, so that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Can you just imagine this? And can you just imagine this guy who's a professional fisherman who knows exactly how to fish, who knows exactly where to cast the net, and he knows where the honey holes are. Brother Vernon knows them. He will not share them. He knows exactly how to do this. Jesus tells him an unorthodox place to go, an unorthodox way to fish. That is a very difficult word for me, apparently. And he tells them exactly what to do, and all of a sudden, he's got more than he can handle. We're afraid to follow God because of the cost, but we have no idea what he may require of us. But when we are willing to lay aside our cares and forget about our toils and obey his commands, he can do more with our lives than we would ever imagine. He can take some little thing that we have and change the world with it. Think of the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It wasn't much. It was all he had. He gave up his lunch, and Jesus fed thousands. We still look back to that little boy today as a hero. What are the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in your life tonight? What is it that you're hanging on to that Jesus is saying, you got to give that to me. I want those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Peter, I need your ship. Peter, I need you to go out. And what we don't understand is that when we do that, God can bless us. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Is he directing your steps tonight, or are you directing your steps? Is he in charge tonight, or are you in charge? Is he calling the shots tonight? Are you calling the shots? God told Israel through Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you. And whether you're a 4 or 5 year old in here tonight, or you're in your 90s, can I tell you tonight, God has a plan for you. The question is, are you willing to launch out? Are you willing to give him your ship? Are you willing to be what he wants you to be? We look at this sacrifice of our own ambitions, our own goals, our own ideas, and we feel like we're sacrificing a lot. But are we really? As Brother Tom preached so great this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." See, we get this idea that, God, I'm going to give everything to you. God, I'm going to set my plans aside and I'm going to take your plans. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. God, I'm going to be what you want me to be. And that God's going to send us to Africa and we're going to eat monkey brains the rest of our life. Isn't that the idea? Isn't that why we're afraid to surrender? But when we surrender, when we say, God, take my ship. It doesn't matter what I've thought. God, I'm putting it in your hands. It's amazing that he can take what we've done. He can take our labors that have brought nothing. He can take our efforts that have led to no fruit. And he can sink 2 ships with everything that we'll bring in. See, it's not about what we want. It is not about our desires. It is not about the things that we have planned for our life. It is about following him. And when he says, I want you to launch your ship out, we better launch our ships out. Understanding that his plans for us are greater than our plans for us. The things that he wants to do through our lives are far greater than what we want to see done through our lives. What are you hanging on to tonight? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But it's crazy. We want to just hang on to that burden, carry it. Give it to him. Let him be in charge. Let him call the shots. And when he does, we'll bring in more than we ever imagined. Last night, we see the invitation. Follow me. Are we willing to follow him tonight? Are we willing to be who he wants us to be? As God speaks to your heart tonight, are you following? Are you letting go of the things he wants you to let go of? Because we know that at first he lets Jesus borrow his ship. Then he sees what Jesus can do with his ship, and he gives him everything. Are you willing to follow him? But then he gets where we don't like to go. Tells him to forsake all. That is a difficult proposition. Forsake all. Heard a story of a dangerous seacoast where ships would often wreck. There was a crude little life-saving station there. The building was just a HUD, and there was only one boat. There were a few devoted members who would keep a constant watch over the sea with no thought for themselves. They would go out day after day and night after night tirelessly searching for those who had been lost at sea. Some of those were saved, but many times not. People began to hear about this, and money and support for the effort grew. New boats were bought, and new crews trained for the life-saving station to begin to grow. Members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped, and they felt that a more comfortable place could be provided for refuge for those saved at sea. They replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture and built a bigger building, and now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. They declared it beautiful, and they furnished it lavishly. They began to think of it as a club. Fewer and fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions. So they hired lifeboat crews to do the work. The saving thought still prevailed in the club's decorations, but there was even a miniature lifeboat there on the door, but nobody was going to save lives. The next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities since they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social way of life. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called to be a life-saving station. They were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. I'm thankful that our church here is a life-saving station. But here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that far too often we come and we do church and we go home, we go to work, we spend time with our family and we come back and we do church and that's how life goes. That's not being a disciple. It's about giving him everything. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Have you gotten so comfortable in your Christian life that you're no longer useful for the master? Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Are you willing to lose your life for his sake? Peter would get towards the end of his ministry. And he had a message. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Peter could look back over his time with Jesus. Peter could remember the miracles. Peter walked on water. Peter's mind could take him back to the empty tomb that he raised John to and lost. Peter could look to Pentecost and remember the day that He preached and thousands of souls were saved. Peter could remember being in prison and being delivered by God. At the end of his life, Peter could look back, and it turns out that the high cost of being a disciple wasn't that high at all. Peter was able to accomplish so much in his life and watch God work so many times because when God asked, he gave. Tonight, are you willing to lay aside your ambitions, your desires, your plans, and be the disciple he wants you to be? I promise you the cost is worth it. Let's pray.